It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Joe Wozniacki with the Commodity Weather Group. We'll talk weather in just a moment. First, let's talk hogs and pigs. Price projections from Jason Franken with Western Illinois University.
In general, hog prices tend to be higher in the second and third quarters with lower prices in the first and fourth quarters. Consistent with that pattern, this price series is forecast to average about $103.78 a hundredweight for the third quarter of 2022, falling to $91.70 a hundredweight by the fourth quarter, and then $92.59 a hundredweight for the first quarter of 2023, and rising up to $101.47 a hundredweight for the second quarter of 2023. These projections are consistent with the supply and demand scenario currently anticipated. However, if supply exceeds current expectations or if export demand softens, lower prices may be realized.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Joe Wozniacki. Joe is a meteorologist with Commodity Weather Group. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
Okay. We're going to cover a couple of things here, a couple of bases before we move too much further. We'll come back and talk about Commodity Weather Group in just a moment, but let's talk about Joe and your path to CWG. Did you grow up thinking, hey, I want to be a meteorologist someday?
I did, actually. It was fostered at a very young age, kindergarten, first grade, sitting on the front porch with my mother, watching severe storms roll in instead of getting to the basement as we should have been. So that fostered my interest there. Never really wavered from that, moving on into middle school and high school. And then I went to Purdue University in Indiana and got my atmospheric science bachelor's and master's degree. Worked an internship for Chesapeake Energy, which was a natural gas company. They had a weather division in Chicago, so I did that while I was in grad school. And then just immediately after grad school, back in 2014, so that's coming up on 8 years now, started with Commodity Weather Group.
Well, that's a great segue. Commodity Weather Group, who are you and what do you do?
We provide forecasts for energy and ag traders, so any sort of commodity that the weather affects globally. We provide weather forecasts every day and put out reports to our trader clients and other meteorologists that have a vested interest in the weather.
Well, let's just jump in with both feet. Now that we know who Joe is, we know who Commodity Weather Group is, current ag weather situation. I could bet that most of us would not be surprised that the West is burning up and there's some places in the East that need to dry up. But when you look at it, what do you see as far as our current weather situation?
Yeah, well, the big story right now, obviously, in the U.S. is the U.S. corn and soy belt. And things have been pretty hot and dry recently throughout June here so far. We're up to almost 35% to 40% of the U.S. corn and soy belt that's currently under some dryness stress. Now, we're not quite into corn pollination yet. That's later. About the last 10 days of July is what we're expecting for peak pollination. But right now, this stress definitely taking a toll here. We do see some rains here over the next couple weeks, scaling things back perhaps to less than 20% of that corn and soy belt, but definitely some needed rains here across the Midwest over the next 2 weeks. We do expect once we do get into that later July period for those areas that we will see some better showers and see the heat back off mainly to the far northwestern belt. So we don't expect this to be a major drought issue into the summer for the Midwest, into the peak pollination. But again, we do need to see some rains here to kind of foster that confidence as we move forward. Some other areas, the southeast, which pollinates corn a bit earlier in the year, has seen some stress. So far with heat and dryness, they are almost finished with pollination down there, about two-thirds to three-quarters of the way done. So that damage has already occurred there. Texas cotton, if we move down there, they did see some showers over the past month, kind of timely showers there to aid the crop, but it does dry out and warm up again over the next 2 weeks for the most part. So we will be watching that area as well, as our late July forecast has started to dry out there as well. So it does seem like a building heat and dryness concern there for Texas. Elsewhere, it does look like areas into the northern plains wheat could be a little bit drier as we move forward here, so some stress there. And then if we move all the way up into Canada and North America, they're seeing some pretty good showers for the wheat and canola belt there. So that pretty much wraps up the shorter-term forecast.
And when we start looking down the road, something that you're tied into is the Ag Seasonal Outlook, and that just broke, I guess, this week. Any highlights from that?
Yeah, I think the biggest highlight is, I mentioned that earlier, moving into, at least I'll start with July here. We do feel like the dryness in the Midwest will scale back. And we do think that once we move later on into July, there is the possibility for some of those West Texas showers. But the next 2 weeks here do seem like the showers will be limited. But then once we move later on into the summer, into August, and even in September, it does look like the South, again, in West Texas will dry out. Everything remains warm in the Midwest. Things look to dry out a little bit and warm up in August and into September as well. Things are warmer. So that's going to limit early frost risks in the Midwest or anything like that that would affect the corn crop. And basically not a whole lot of showers for early harvest concerns either in the Midwest, maybe some spotty portions in the eastern Midwest, but nothing too widespread. If we start to move into fall, we do see some better showers, and those are going to be needed for the central and southern plains wheat areas. So we do expect those to pick up, but if they don't, especially after a couple months of dryness here, their subsoil moisture and topsoil moisture will be pretty low, and they're going to start to need that for wheat establishment after the planting period there into the fall. Now, if we move on into winter, it does look like another La Nina situation setting up. So we're kind of on a third straight winter here, which is pretty rare for La Nina conditions, which again is going to favor that drier outlook across the South, across Texas, with the cooler and wetter pattern mainly staying to the north, the northern Midwest, up into the Northeast.
We talked,
and I think that's pretty much covers it for the United States.
Well, and I think one of the other areas we've got to watch is what's happening around the globe. For example, you mentioned earlier cotton in Texas, but Australia, a major producer, and they dealt with drought for a few years before things, Mother Nature turned the spigot back on for them. Brazil has seen some dryness as well. What do you see when you look globally?
I think it's going to be a similar pattern there into South America. I don't think we're going to see much change from the general La Nina regime. You mentioned right now the main focus there in Australia is the wheat belt. They've been pretty dry there, Argentina wheat belt. They've been pretty dry there, so that's been the big story in South America currently. If we move forward, you mentioned Australia. They were drier back 2017, 2018, those years, even into 2019. But once we've moved into this La Nina regime, that really favors a more wet pattern and really favors moisture for both wheat and cotton in Australia. I'll mention India here briefly. The India monsoon is just getting going. Their cotton belt there actually into the western quarter has seen a very slow start so far to the monsoon. It does look like showers will pick up there over the next couple weeks finally for some seeding opportunities there, but they're about the western third of the Indian cotton belt is where we focus our major concerns for the summer. Elsewhere across India, the soybean regions, sugarcane areas should be pretty good and end up near to above normal for the monsoon, but those western areas are a big concern. A few other areas, China summer outlook looks pretty decent for the rest of the summer, fairly wet overall. not a whole lot of heat. Some periods of heat there, but not enough to really stress the crop. In Europe, concerns are really mainly across southern Europe, corn and oil seeds there. Ukraine and South Russia do look like they will see some showers as we move into July and August, but they are dealing with some dryness right now in those corn and oil seed areas for eastern Ukraine and South Russia, but we do expect those to ease here later on in the summer.
We've covered a lot of ground here, and again, I just wonder if you it's difficult to predict what's going to happen in the weather this afternoon, much less what might be happening further down the road. When you look down the road, though, is there anything that's kind of interesting to you with just a couple of minutes left?
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing is this tendency for us to remain in a La Nina regime here. So I think there's only two other cases dating back to 1950 where we had three straight years in a row of La Nina. And this is really, really amping up. So La Nina, for instance, the Western drought tends to be stronger in La Nina regimes. And so we've had three straight years of that, which is really intensifying the West. And that west dryness and that wildfire potential, it's really keeping our Atlantic hurricane seasons active. So we had two of the three highest, most active hurricane seasons the last 2 years, and it looks like that's going to be the same this year. So just an intense La Nina situation, pretty robust over the last 3 years here. That's been interesting to watch.
Well, we've mentioned early on the Commodity Weather Group, and I guess if we want to learn more about the group and what you do, and there's actually a free trial as well. How do we get to all of that?
Yeah, you would visit our website, www.commoditywx.com. We're commoditywx.com or commoditywx. On Twitter. So either of those two mediums, you can find out. You can get a free trial of our service on there. Contact us there or send us a message on Twitter.
Again, website address, commoditywx.com. Joe Woznicki is a meteorologist with Commodity Weather Group on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Joe Woznicki with the Commodity Weather Group.
Great hay doesn't just happen. A good hay crop takes planning, hard work, and the right tools. At Livingston Machinery, we have the Heston by Massey Ferguson self-propelled windrowers, large square balers, and small square balers you need to bring your crop in right. Years of experience and rugged American-made quality show in every high-density bale. Don't just wish for good hay. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24-7 service for your 24-7 operation.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the Commodity Weather Group online, commoditywx.com. If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Some concerning news for those who love eating a handful of sweet cherries during the summer.
Not as great a season for the sweet cherries this year. In fact, down about 27% from what was produced last year. Last year was a really good crop, but still that's a pretty sharp drop off from last year. In fact, that's the lowest production since 2008.
Lance Honig of the National Agricultural Statistics Service explains what was behind the production forecast reduction.
Most of the sweet cherries produced up in Washington and California, really Washington, the leading state there, kind of looking at the season this year in Washington in particular, really some severe cold weather in the winter and even into the spring that really had an impact on pollination and the fruit set, leading to lower numbers there in California, some freezing temperatures a little bit later on in February and March, kind of having a little bit of an impact on the crop there.
A third major sweet cherry production state, Oregon, also reports a year-over-year crop decrease. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.